Good morning, Jamie.
How are you, Keith?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, just getting used to kind of our winter hours. This is the thing. It's in the show notes. It's something for me to talk about, but I've come to the conclusion that I need to just sleep more in the winter. So I've been doing that. So I'm kind
like
of just
like a bear.
Yeah. Like a bear? I don't quite hibernate. No plugs. But I do, yeah, sleep a little bit longer. So I'm actually a little groggy, kind of waking up still. But yeah, how about you?
You didn't like feed yourself like a whole hell of a lot? Like,
oh, I did, but that's called Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So it's a different situation.
Good. So you're not getting up as early as you usually do, huh?
Yeah, I tried that. And so everybody knows on this recording, we haven't actually released an episode in like 4 or 5 weeks, but it wasn't for lack of recording. We recorded one, had some audio issues. It was kind of a bummer. And that one, we talked about like New Year's resolutions. And we also talked about seasonal effectiveness as a thing. And after that talk, I kind of came to the realization that I need to just not be so hard on myself for feeling like I'm less effective. And I just don't like try to force myself to wake up super early because I know I'm going to wake up and just like mope around for an hour anyway. So just sleep a little bit longer, have winter hours, just expect a diminished, capacity to release things, I suppose is the way I would put it. And then when, you know, it starts getting warmer, that stuff will pick back up and I'll be good to go.
Yeah. Last week, I got a migraine. Like, I think it was for the first time ever, or I just never knew what a migraine was before that. I think it was due to stress. And I've been trying to tell myself, like, over and over, because I have, like, 14 projects going on, that it's okay. There's no, like crazy, like, imaginary deadline that I'm making up in my head. Mm-hmm. That some of the stuff needs to get done. So, although it's mostly been working, last week it didn't work, so I've been trying to convince myself of kind of a similar thing as well.
Have you continued to meditate? I know we had a conversation about that before.
Okay. Migraine's coming back. No, I fell off the meditation bandwagon, but I need to get back on. I used to do it like right when I worked out. I would always do it on those days. And I kind of fell off the working out bandwagon as well, although I got back on it 2 weeks ago. I just need to pick back up on the meditation.
Okay. Yeah, that's my like go-to if I'm super stressed out kind of thing. And Kendra always calls me out on it. If she thinks I'm feeling like if I seem blue or like grumpy, she'll be like, "Did you meditate today?" And yeah, the answer is inevitably no on those days. And she knows.
It was a big help. So, yeah.
Well, cool. You want to talk about your last couple weeks? We're going to just act like those previous 2 weeks didn't happen and people can be surprised by any of the results of those weeks.
Sure. I'll touch on my New Year's goals as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the last 2 weeks have been kind of crazy in terms of this other project I'm working on. Can't really talk about it yet. So I'm not going to talk about it much here. It's nothing new, like it's not going to add work to my workload in the long term, but in this very short term, it's adding a bunch of work. Hopefully by next podcast, I'll be able to talk about what it is that I'm doing with some other people. So I've been heads down on that. The other thing that's happened is last week, Tetsuo, the Slack API all of a sudden stopped returning. They had a little bug in their API. So they have a channels list API call that lists all the channels that a team is currently on. And I use that to sync up the people that are in certain channels in Tetsuo with people that are in channels on Slack. And I do that every time before a stand-up starts, also before we run billing, and also before they visit a page on the website. Well, that method stopped returning for certain teams. It stopped returning the members within that channel. So they have two fields. They have like a members array, which will return the IDs of the members that are in there. And then they have the number of members. Well, those two things weren't adding up. The member array would be empty.
Gotcha.
So what this caused, what happened was all of a sudden certain teams had zero participants because it would say, oh, you have zero participants in Slack. That means you have zero participants in Tatsu. And let's get rid of those. So I worked with Slack a bit. They knew of the issue. They were working on it. So I kind of just had like a couple days there where I was like, all right, Slack's going to fix this. I also thought of a contingency plan if it wasn't fixed. And after the second day, they said it was fixed, but it still wasn't fixed. It was only returning bots that weren't the members, which is unusual and helpful to me. So
nice. I just
fixed that, fixed a bunch of data issues last week. So that took up like four or five days last week. So that was cool. But that's fixed and deployed. And then as far as Chronic, I've been working on the web app side of things, and I've been kind of laying out where components are going to go, things like that. And I've been working with styled components, which is a React thing where you kind of put your styles right within your components.
Yeah. How are you liking it?
Yeah. Not much. I haven't been liking it much. I don't get it. I don't get why everybody wants to just use JavaScript for this. I don't get it. But there is one cool thing with it, and that's the theme provider, where you can basically put all your base styles and generate a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with it for another week or so, just to see if I get like that aha moment. But so far it's like, why not just use CSS where it's intended to be used? So I'm going to see. But that's as far as Chronic goes. I haven't been, too much in the weeds with that. So that's about it for me. I have been working on a new talk, a new workshop. I got accepted to, IndieCode, and a friend of mine submitted a talk where we talk about how we work with APIs, and then he does iOS apps. So how we kind of work together and how I provide the APIs, how he stubs them out, how we talk about the contracts, things like that. And that talk, we're building a new iOS app.
Oh, cool. Who's the other person?
Don Miller.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we've done a couple projects together on with that sort of relationship. So we thought it'd be a good talk. And the app we're building is pretty cool. It's called Gotcha, based on this movie I saw a while ago when I was a kid. And the idea is to have people that are friends virtually or at the same conference to meet in real life. So what's going to happen is you download this app. It knows based on geofencing that you're at this conference, and this conference is a thing on Gotcha, and it'll send random push notifications to two different people, say, hey, here's an image of this person, here's what they like and dislike, or here are their interests, and then you will get their information, their profile information, and then you have to go and try to find each other, meet up. And then you scan a QR code saying that you have met each other. So that's kind of the app idea that we're building.
Nice. So it's a scavenger hunt. It's almost like a scavenger hunt mixed with like a speed dating site is what it sounds like.
we had this idea of we were kind of just like sketching out the interface, and we had this idea of like, say you can't find the person that you're trying to find. And we were thinking, oh, there's a button that says like find the next person. We're like, well, what if instead of a button, you could just swipe left?
Yeah.
So. That might be too much, but
that's funny.
Yeah. It's based on a movie that got me into paintball.
That's, oh, really?
My whole paintball kind of road and career, this guy would go around with IDs of people on his campus, college campus. And I think it was at UCLA is where it was set at. And he would just like look at the, these student IDs and like shoot them with a paintball gun. And that was their game. So, that's where the kind of the name came from.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah. So between all those things is, why I got the migraine last week. Is literally like after we were talking about that, what we were going to build.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh my gosh, I have so many things to do.
Yeah. I think when we talked about that, you were like, oh, it's fine though. I like having a lot of projects.
I do.
Maybe your body does not.
Maybe my body does not. It's not bad. I kind of stress myself out. You know, mm-hmm. it's not for 3 months. You know, we're starting early, so we don't wait till the week before, and then I really get stressed out. So I think I'm handling it well. So it's just kind of going slower than I like these projects. But.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, I guess for me, the big, I didn't really have any, you know, like New Year's-y goals, so to speak, of too much, except for like working out and stuff. And I've been doing yoga consistently and that's been good. But, I had previously been working on the mobile app for Chronic and building a local timer into that. And then you and I paired for a little while, decided that was like kind of not worth it right now. And so I started working on the deployment stuff for us, and I actually, and not really that long of a time, got a staging server built and got hot reloading into deploys done. So you could actually deploy a code change to the application while you had a timer running and it wouldn't mess up your timer.
That was the coolest thing I've seen in a while.
It was pretty sweet and it was easy. So that was cool.
Yeah. So what you did was you demoed this to me because I wouldn't have believed it, but, and I know about Elixir's hot reloading and, actually Erlang's hot reloading. And, what you did was you put in just an output statement, like, anytime this tick method was called to decrement the timer, and you had the running timer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You committed the code, deployed it. And while the timer was still running, it suddenly started putting output tick messages every second, where that wasn't happening before. And all that without like destroying the timer. And the timer just kept on chugging along.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome how it works. And I was looking at it and I'm like, okay, are we going to have any issues? You run into issues if you change the state that you're holding within processes. You kind of write a state migration path for, it's like a function basically. I don't remember what it's called exactly, but you can actually change the state based on some sort of algorithm that you want if it's going from one version of your application to another version. But that's where like hot reloading gets kind of complicated. And thankfully, I don't know that we're going to really need to do that too much unless, yeah, we really shouldn't, because the parts that would kind of require that, I think, will be kind of stored in a database somewhere. Like, they'll be in some other caching layer that we'll just read kind of frequently, I think.
Right.
We can kind of cross that bridge when we get to it, but I'm hoping we don't have to go down that route, because at that point, it'll make our deploys a lot trickier to really think about. But as for right now, if you're just working with a lot of functions and not a lot of state, then you're pretty good. And that, by state, I mean persistent state that kind of has to last beyond just one call to it. So yeah, that was pretty cool. It was probably my big highlight for the last month or so, is kind of working on that stuff. And then I've been kind of kicking around using Chef, ironically, to be our configuration management system, because it doesn't work like normally. I would fall back on Docker, but in this case, we can't exactly deploy new Docker images if I need the processes to stay running. So that one goes out the window. And I answer questions on Chef at work. And then I kind of, you know, I went through and I got one of their like certification badges is what they're called. It's like, I don't have a full certification as a Chef certified developer, but I have like a portion of it. And Chef's really not that bad. It was just, I kind of didn't know what was going on when I first was introduced to it at Square Mouth. And that is where chefsucks.com came from.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's something that you put up.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I owned chefsucks.com, and it was just a place where you could go and vote whether or not Chef Sucks, and it would keep that tally. And just to let everybody know, according to the votes, Chef did suck. But it's really not that bad. And as I've learned more about it, I'm like, okay. And the fact that it's just in Ruby as the thing gives me some good freedom to do what I need to do in certain situations and not feel like I have to go digging through too many docs in order to figure out what's going on. Like, for the most part, I can kind of figure it out. So I think I'm going to use that for our kind of deployment configuration bit.
Were there other tools you looked at?
The comparable ones are SaltStack, Ansible, and Puppet. And Puppet uses its own DSL that's kind of like Ruby. And Puppet's okay, it's fine. I've used it a little bit in the past. Ansible I actually really like, and it uses YAML and doesn't need anything to be installed on the node, which is pretty cool. And SaltStack I know literally nothing about. So I picked this one mostly because I'm not the Ansible guy at work, and I want to have more exposure with Chef.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I've also been working on a resources page for Coder Journey to kind of have a place where I can put information that I want to share with other people. I get a lot of questions about like my recording setup or certain, I've got questions about like books I like to read or things I like to learn from. And so I'm going to put all that in one spot so that I can curate it and kind of keep that updated and just sort of link that all over the place.
Nice. So you don't have to keep answering the same questions from people. You just point them to a URL.
Yeah. And it's a little bit beneficial there. I mean, obviously I can use like affiliate links it's something somebody can go buy and then I can get a kickback from it or whatever, but it's really just a place where I can like point people to like, here's the stuff. Cause I want to have like a section that's like, here's my current favorite, like web stack. I can just like point to like the tools I'm currently using, stuff like that I think would be kind of cool. And then I can just keep it up to date. So that's pretty nice. I've been working on that the last few days. And Coder Journey's website, a lot of the stuff it uses is based off of components that come from the refills library from Bourbon and Thoughtbot. So I've been kind of digging around through there, and they didn't have anything that quite fit what I wanted to do. So I've been kind of modifying some of their like general things. But it's just... it's nice to fall back on somebody who kind of knows more about HTML and CSS. It's always been a weak point for me. And so that's coming along, but it's just been a slow process. And that's about it for me, though.
We talked about kind of our goals, resolutions for 2018. Do you want to touch on those real briefly?
I literally don't remember what goal I had other than yoga.
Exactly.
So.
Okay. So you're sticking with the yoga thing.
Yeah, yoga I'm really enjoying. It's amazing how much moving slowly and deliberately, though, can make me sore.
Yeah, you're stretching muscles that you don't usually stretch, right?
Yep.
So you do that every day?
Yeah, for the most part. This last week's been a little bit hectic with some family stuff, but yeah, for the most part, every day. So what were your goals?
So as far as like what's pertinent to this podcast, I have kind of two goals in mind. One is I want, and I don't do these on a yearly basis. I kind of do it on a quarterly basis because I don't plan. I don't know what the hell 6 months from now looks like, let alone a year. So by April, what I want to do is I have this big feature for Tetsu that I'm still in the process of working on, which is the asynchronous standups. After that is launched, I'll be able to like kind of mess with billing a little bit. As well as like kind of unplug some momentum from Tetsu. And my goal is to launch that by April, and kind of I want to double the revenue that Tetsu makes. Right now it makes only like around $1,500 a month after expenses and stuff. So not that much. And then so I want to double that to about $3,000 a month by April. And if it doesn't, if I don't do that, I'm going to consider alternatives for Tetsu. So that's kind of a big goal for mine. And the other thing is I want to launch Callback. I figure Chronic's going to take us the majority of this year to kind of finish, you know, realistically, since we're not working on it full time. And
yeah.
So the one goal for Chronic that I want to have is the ability for us to use that to use it by April at the latest for, you know, us kind of just ensure that the timer's working right. We enjoy using it. You know, it solves a problem that we have and syncs throughout all these platforms. So it's kind of my goal for the three kind of main projects I'm working on.
Nice.
And then I have, you know, personal goals like everybody does, like working out. And I just joined my gym kind of puts these like Kickstarter programs where they kind of talk about healthy eating and lifestyle changes along with kind of their group working out. So I just bought that package and I think it starts next week because I have been getting back into working out, but I still eat like an idiot. And I don't like the whole idea of dieting like that. Those never work. There's a reason why those never work. It's because people don't change their habits. So this will kind of do both. And they've kind of like have an accountability program. And so I'm looking forward to that. So those are kind of my major goals.
Awesome. Yeah. I think the, adjusting lifestyle that people never give enough credit. Like it's more than just like eating a little bit differently. It's like you almost have to think about things differently so that eating differently at home can kind of continue on into when you're not at home in that safe
exactly.
environment.
That's why I like this program because it's like, you know, you get a lot of one-on-one time. You tell them, you know, what your issues are. Like my issue is there's two reasons why I eat like an idiot. One is, I don't really have like a regimen and schedule. I might be home. I might not be home. So I need like stuff I can eat on the go, like snacks and everything as well. And then mm-hmm. I also enjoy having lunch with other people. And I do try to do that at least like 3 times a week. I do that more for the social aspect than the eating aspect. So that'll be nice to kind of get one-on-one feedback from them on how I can accomplish that. So what is your next 2 weeks look like?
My next 2 weeks are actually, I have a weird self-imposed really, really soon deadline on a course. So I'm going to be busting my butt on that. And then beyond that, I want to get the chef stack set up for Chronic. So those are probably the two main things that I'm going to be working on over the next week or two. So nothing too groundbreaking. Eventually, I would like to get our continuous deployment stuff rigged up for Chronic. And I don't think that'll take me too incredibly long once I kind of land on what I'm going to use to do that. If that is CodeShip, which is our CI service, then right now, then that would be fine. If we decide we want to go with something else so that I can have like a separate Elixir build server that builds things and then deploys the fully compiled package, then maybe that'll be something different too.
Nice.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
So for Chronic, I want to, I'm not going to set a goal that's so spectacular because I have a lot going on, especially in the beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to simply finish the kind of UI responsive layout stuff on the web app and then actually be able to kind of start a timer. And that kind of gets into the whole like sharing of the state that we want to share and all that kind of stuff. So those are kind of my two tasks I want to complete for Chronic.
Well, awesome. Hopefully this recording turns out better than our previous one did, and we can actually release this. But it's been nice getting to record again, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Jamie.
Okay, talk to you, dude.